Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and Friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops if you like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippett Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities
Live. It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
Oh,
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here at Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Chris and Ellie here, and we've got a real packed show for you today. So we have Bradley and Oliver. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chris. How are you? Because it's been a couple of weeks again.
It has. It's been a good hour.
And, good to see you back.
And we also got a returning guest, Josh. Good afternoon.
How you doing? Good to see you.
Welcome back,
thanks,
Josh.
Thanks
welcome
for bringing
back.
Me along, guys.
Well, thanks for coming. So we're going to talk to you later on in the show. Right now, I've got an interview to share with you. So have you heard of the name Paul Carrick?
Yeah.
Rings a bell.
That's familiar.
So he was one of the lead singers of Ace, and he also sung for Mark and the Mechanics. He sung The Living Years, which is a classic hit, I've got to say, and is one of Sheffield's finest as well. So here is Paul Carrick. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. And we have Sheffield's finest, Paul Carrick. Good afternoon.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I want to say good. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, pleasure.
And I've got to say congratulations on the new album as well.
Thank you.
I want to talk a little bit about how you broke into the music industry. I mean, tell us a bit about that. How difficult is it?
But I broke into it by stealth. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I was playing in bands when I was at school. We had a little band at school. And even by the time I left school at sort of 16, 15, whatever it was, I knew that that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to be in a band. I didn't have any big ambitions about being successful or being a star. Success to me was to be in a band that had a van.
Yeah.
You know, and you could go and play gigs. So from that very humble start, I've had quite a meandering career. Because you can call it a career now, it's quite acceptable, you know. But so yeah, it's taken me all over the place. But you know, it was very, very lean times in the early days, of course. But I've been very fortunate to have had a little bit of success here and there along the way.
And I've got to say, it's an amazing journey as well, because you also worked with massive bands like Ace, Mark and the Mechanics, and you've been going solo for 30 years. I mean, that's an incredible journey for you.
Yes, it has been. It has been something I couldn't really have dreamed of, as I say. But you know, I would have never imagined back then that I would play with all these great people along the way. You know, and to have been all over the world, and you know, it's been fairly, you know, I've always been prepared to work hard and to take the rough with the smooth and the ups and the downs. And, well, not least because there was nothing else I was any good at, to be honest with you. I left school with no qualifications. I didn't enjoy school. As I say, just wanted to be in a band and, you know, in the early days when I was on my own, obviously we lived on fresh air. You know, I was very thin back in those days. But then in later years, you know, when I started a family, you got married and had a family, that I had to get a bit serious about trying to earn a living.
Sure.
You know, and fortunately, thank God, I've been able to do that. And to keep a roof over our heads and to raise a lovely family.
And I mean, I'm in awe because I've got to be honest with you. I mean, I've listened to the first song was, I've listened to it in my childhood was The Living Years. And that is such an iconic song for me. And the way you sung it, it's brilliant. And I want to say thank you for that.
Well, thank you. But you're making me feel old now to say that's the first song you ever heard, because I was well into my career by that point. But No, I was fortunate enough to get to sing that song with, back in the Mike and the Mechanics days. You know, I was one of the original members. I've not been with it now for probably 20 years. I don't know, but those original big hits we had, it was really exciting times. And I mean, that song was nominated for Grammy Awards and all sorts.
Yeah.
You know, but it's one of them songs that, it for a lot of people, it does register. You know, it does touch a nerve. I think maybe if you've not been in those kind of circumstances, you might find it a bit, might not like it so much. But I know for a fact that a lot of people, it you know, it, as I say, struck a nerve, and that's amazing.
And I mean, you worked with all these massive bands and all these fantastic people. I've got to ask you, who are your main influences? And also, if there was anybody that you could work with in the near future, who would it be and why?
Well, I would say I've been influenced by lots of people just by listening to their records, you know, and to have got to play with some of these people is just mind-boggling, really. Even when I look back now, I toured with Ringo Starr, I've toured with Eric Clapton, I've played on Elton John records and lots of different records. And I think I've been influenced by lots of things, you know, and lots of music, and been very fortunate to work by and large with good people. You know, I've met too many horrible people in the music side of things. I mean, sure, you know, the business side of things is another story, but I'm totally self-taught. I just taught myself by listening to records and trying to figure out how they did things, you know. So in that sense, that is my natural gift, fortunately, because as I said, I don't have any other gifts. I'm not academic. I'm not very practical. If we need any jobs doing around the house, it's either the missus or we have to get somebody to give us a hand, because I'm hopeless.
Look, I want to say, I've got to ask you as well, then, Paul. I mean, for anybody that wants to like break into the music industry, how tough is it for musicians these days, would you say?
Well, I wouldn't know where to start advising anybody. I mean, people do ask that sort of question, you know, people who are starting out, but it's a completely different world.
Yeah.
Well, in many ways it's similar, and in other ways it's completely different, because, you know, back in my day, as I say, all I wanted to do was get out there, play little gigs, and just see what happened, whatever came. We didn't even think about making records and stuff like that. But once we did start making records and doors opened, it was still up and down. You know, it was still precarious way to earn a living. And it sounds good on paper, you know, over a long period of time, played with all these people and that. But, of course, there were lean times in between.
Sure.
And, you know, when I had a young family and I'm thinking, well, how to keep a roof over our head, you know. So I wouldn't know where to start now. In some ways it's easier, in other ways it's harder. Because back in our day, it was just about playing live, playing gigs. Now, kids now, you know, even when they have a little bit of success, probably via the, you know, internet and what have you, if you tell them they've got, you know, 10 gigs, they'd freak out.
Sure.
But so, like I say, it is very different. It's a lot easier to kind of make your records now, because the facilities are very accessible. Back in our day, you'd more or less to sell your soul to get into a recording studio. But now, you know, you can make a record almost on your phone and get it on the internet and all the rest of it. But the downside of that is that there's a lot and lot of people having a go. So it's getting it heard. You know, that's the difficult bit.
That's the problem, isn't it? I mean, because there is, like you say, I mean, we've got social media and the internet now.
Yes.
It didn't exist about 30, 40 years ago. And I remember, I mean, at the time, the internet was unheard of and social media didn't exist at that time. And it's like you say that it's gotten harder. I think, like you say, I think it's gotten a lot harder for musicians to break into it because there's so much competition out there now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, as I said, there was always competition, but the main difference, I think, was that back in our day, there were plenty of places to play, even if it was just a pub or a club or a youth club or, you know, it was about playing live. And, you know, there wasn't much money in it at the bottom end, but there's even less money in that now. I mean, I think kids even have to almost pay to play. You know, they have to guarantee that they can bring a few people in before they can get a booking, you know. So that side of it is much harder. Yeah. But the recording side of it is easier, but you still got to get it out there amongst all the competition, as you say.
I want to talk to you about your new album, and I've got to say it's a fantastic album, by the way.
Well, hang on a sec now, Chris, because what album are we talking about?
So it's called The Countryside of Paul Carrick.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Yes.
So, yeah. And it's just been released 4th of July this year.
Yeah.
And I've got to ask Paul, I mean, how long did it take for you to put together? Did it come together quite quickly, or was it quite a long process?
Well, for me, it was one of the easiest albums I've ever made because I've made a lot of albums here at home where I've played everything, you know, all the instruments, had to write the songs. I've even engineered it myself, done all the recording. And that does take a long time.
Yeah.
But with this case, with the country album, it was a completely different way of doing things because I'd actually met this guy from Nashville who was he's a singer-songwriter in his own right, but he's also like a producer. So most of the actual hard work in that respect of the production was him, which I was quite happy to hand over that responsibility. So my main contribution was really just singing, which is, for me, always, that's been the easy bit. The hard bit is, you know, getting the tracks together, getting the musicians together, recording, mixing and everything, whereas I just had the responsibility to do my vocals. And so it was over a period of several months that we got the basic tracks together, but then he would take the basic tracks with my vocal on them and go into a studio with six musicians and record the tracks kind of live to my vocal.
Yeah.
If you see, so this is an unusual way of doing things.
Sure.
But, you know, these guys in Nashville, that's how they're making records all day long. Every day, and they're very, very professional. I guess it's very competitive, so they have to get it together very quickly, that side of things.
And it's also reached number one as well in the official country music chart, so I want to say congratulations on that.
Thank you. And yeah, I mean, it was a one-off for me. You know, I'd often wanted to do a country album. I've done things in the past, a track here and a track there, and I've, you know, got country music influences. Country, rock and roll, soul, it's all kind of a melting pot. But I wanted to make, you know, specifically a country album, a proper one, using Nashville guys. And I was a bit concerned at one point because it was kind of fashionable for a week or two to do country stuff. You had people like Beyonce and all this, that and the other doing.
Yeah.
And I wasn't trying to jump on that bandwagon. It was just something I'd always wanted to have in my what they call your catalogue, you know, my catalogue of music. I wanted to have a proper country one.
And I've also noticed that it says volume one on the... So will there be a volume two in the near future?
I'm pretty sure there will be a volume two. I mean, we've actually made quite a start on it in that similar way. But at the same time, I'd like to put something else out before that so that people don't think, oh, that's all he does now. He just does country music. In fact, because I thought you might be talking about this track that I've released called Underneath the Stars Tonight. I don't know if you've heard about that, but that's not a country song. That's a regular song. And we've put that out because it's kind of, people thought it might be good for Christmas because it's got a nice kind of message to it. It's not specifically a Christmas song, but it kind of, I think, will fit in the mood of Christmas, which sure. I'm still very much into. But they've not sent you that one, Chris. I must have a words with them. They should send you that and get that played.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I would definitely love to listen to that one. So, but I don't want to, also, will there be an upcoming tour?
Yeah.
Will you be, I know you're playing in Sheffield, but I want to ask you why only one Yorkshire day?
Well, I'm not sure why that would be. I mean, it's not because we don't like Yorkshire, obviously. We go where I mean, first of all, I'm kind of cutting down a bit on the live stuff, so I'm doing less stuff. Now, we have a concert promoter who, you know, he's the guy who has to book the venues, and that's quite competitive these days because there's a lot of demand for live stuff. So the promoter will then find the dates, try to put them in a sensible order where the, you know, the travel wise and all the rest of it. So it's not just a case of saying, well, I think I'll play in Leeds, I think I'll play here, I'll go in York. I mean, we've played in all those cities, but at the end of the day, the promoter will say, these are the dates. Do you want them or not? And we'll say, yeah or no. But we are only playing in Sheffield. Usually we play in York. And occasionally we play in Leeds. We've played in Harrogate and all these. But this time I think, yes, you might be right. We're only playing in Sheffield. But obviously we can't do a tour without playing in Sheffield.
And also, will you be performing in any festivals of any kind?
I don't think we've got any in the book at the moment. You know, we've done Glastonbury for several times. We've done festivals abroad, but as far as I know, there's nothing, none of those major ones in the book at the minute.
So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for that. And so you are going to be in Sheffield on the Thursday, the 16th of April at the Sheffield City Hall. Are tickets still available for our listeners?
As far as I know, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there will be. But, I mean, we are, as far as I know, tickets are going well in all the shows, which is good. I mean, we didn't actually do a specific UK tour last year. We did some one-off shows. But I'm hoping that, yeah, we'll hope to fill the room, definitely.
And I want to say as well, other than the upcoming Volume 2 album that is coming soon, is there any other future projects that you're currently working on, or is it all secretive at the moment?
Well, there's no secrets. I'm always at it. As I say, one of the reasons we've cut back a little bit on the amount of shows we play live and the amount of touring, apart from the fact that I'm getting a bit old now, is the fact that I want to do more recording. And because I believe I'm still in good form, singing-wise and everything, and then, as I say, getting on a bit now, but I definitely want to have as much in the vaults, so to speak, as we can and build up that catalogue. And because there's still plenty of demand for us to play. This year alone, we've played in Netherlands, Sweden, Germany, all over. And there's plenty of demand there. But as I say, I don't want to run myself into the ground as I'm getting older, because it's not, I know it looks easy, but, you know, the traveling and everything is pretty,
sure,
you know, it's pretty tiring. So quality, not quantity.
And how can people get a copy of your new album? I mean, is there physical copies that people can get?
Or yeah.
Is it digital?
It's both.
Both.
It's definitely, yeah, yeah. I mean, it is, like I say, it is a bit different to stuff I've done in the past. It's if we were talking about the country album now, yeah, you can buy that on all the usual formats, or it's on all the digital formats as well. But yeah, it is a CD. It's on vinyl as well, actually. So, but I've got to give another little plug for this track we have out at the moment called Underneath the Stars Tonight, because that's not part of the country album. That's a separate thing, but it's a really good track. I'm very proud of.
And we'll definitely give it a play as well when I get it as well. So I want to say thank you for sending that for me. And I want to say, again, thank you for joining me, Paul. What would you like to say to our listeners?
Well, when will this go out, Chris, or are we live?
We're not live. It's pre-recorded. It will go out live next week, actually.
Okay. Well, I'd just like to say thanks to everybody who likes what I do, and I hope that they'll be coming to the show in April next week at the City Hall. It's always an important one for us because, you know, my band is Sheffield Lads. And I just hope also that everybody's going to have a decent Christmas, and I wish everybody the best for all that. It's an important thing, I think, Christmas. I'm a big fan. We'll be getting our family together. And so I wish everybody a very happy Christmas and a happy new year.
Paul, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I want to wish you a very merry Christmas and a happy new year as well.
All right, Chris. Thanks a lot, mate.
And I want to say thank you so much to Paul Carrick, who joined me on the interview today. We're going to play his latest Christmas track. It is called Underneath the Stars Tonight. Here it is.
We all live together in this thin blue line, sharing all the air we breathe for all this time. I'd like to think someday we'll learn to love this place and take a break from trying to win the human race. To everyone who's underneath the stars tonight, don't know how, but everything will be alright. I can't say how we'll do it, but somehow we'll get through it. Tomorrow is another chance to get it right for us and everyone who's underneath the stars tonight. From now, no one will know our name. A lot of things will change, but one thing stays the same. This planet we have known is no one's place to own. It's It's all of ours to share until we leave this home. For everyone who's underneath the stars tonight, I don't know how, but everything will be alright. Sometimes it's hard to take it, but I believe we'll make it.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
And thank you very much, Paul Carrick. That was Underneath the Stars Tonight. Great tune.
That was such a good song, actually. That was, I'm very impressed by that.
And you know what? I want to say again, thank you to Paul Carrick for joining me on the interview. It's been a real pleasure, and wishing the best of in the future.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I do love Mike and the Mechanics. It's really good tunes that he's got there.
I mean, like I say, I grew up with Mike and the Mechanics. I think The Living Years was one of the first tracks that I've heard, and classic tune.
Yeah, great stuff. I mean, I know my mum showed me Mike and the Mechanics. She really loved them, and Over My Shoulder, that was the tune that I played a fair bit, and I really do like that. You're right, he's got a great voice, and you think he's a bit underrated as compared to, you know, he should be up there with Elton John and stuff like that.
Definitely. Yeah. And I want to talk to you now, Josh. I mean, thank you for joining me today.
Of course,
this is your second time you've been here at Sheffield Live.
Yeah.
And I want to talk to you. You've got a new single now, so it's called Stay, right?
We do have a new single, yeah. In the time that I haven't seen you, we've been putting a lot of effort into getting the mix right for this tune. It's quite a meaningful tune to us, and we're really glad to get it out. That's now on all streaming platforms.
So, I mean, how long did it take for you to put together then?
Wow, that's a good question. This one, basically, we recorded it at the same time as our other tune, Stupid Love, Steel 4, in Vault Studios with Joe Lawson locally. But we basically got him to mix Stupid Love. And we kind of wanted to, well, we were trying to be a bit cheaper, you know what I mean? And we tried to mix it ourselves and whatever, but we just couldn't quite get it right. So it took a couple months, and then he didn't mix it, gave it back to Joe, we couldn't quite do it. And then I got my mate, Alphonse Russell, the guy I live with, who's, you know, he studied music and he produces and stuff, and he started mixing it. And it was really nice for him to mix it, because, like, I live with him, so we could just go back. Like, he was really, you know, made a mission of it, and, you know, in his room, just all coming around and really having the time to get it right, you know?
Sure.
Like, yeah, he watched some videos by, oh, I can't remember the name of the guy, but the guy who mixed Grace by Jeff Buckley.
I don't know, I can't think of a name, but yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But that album is really amazing, how he uses all the different reverbs and stuff like this, and, you know, to have sections where it feels like you're in a church.
Sure.
But then sections where you're in a small area, and getting that in the mixing and mastering is really delicate and tricky, but I don't know, he's had a good go at it, and we're happy with the mix, and, you know, it worked out well.
I mean, I want to ask you as well, I mean, you know, for everybody that wants to, like, break into music, I mean, what advice would you give to our listeners?
Well, I'd just say, just keep going. Do what you enjoy doing as well. Like, you know, music should be you know, from your heart, from yourself, like doing it for yourself rather than anyone else. And I think, you know, just you keep playing the gigs and keep chatting to people and trying different things. I think a lot of musicians can also get stuck in their own one kind of style, and all it takes is jamming with someone maybe you haven't played with for, you know, a while or don't know, and they make you see things differently or play a different variety. Like every musician I've had in different bands has changed how we write a bit, which actually is a great feeling, and it's nice to enjoy that, you know.
And I want to ask you as well, Josh, I mean, how difficult is it to find that sound you're looking for? I mean, have you found what you're looking for, or is it still an ongoing journey?
Well, that's the question. That's the life's question, isn't it, man? thing is, when we make a song, and you know, one of the best feelings is when you write it and you're all in the room and you look at each other and you go, we've done something good there, you know, we've done something nice. And once you write a song and you're happy with it, then you think, oh, I found that sound, and you're really excited for the tune for a bit and you work with that. But then you always want more, and you go, and then you look for that next tune, and the next tune, and it's like, I don't know, it's the beautiful, endless journey of music, isn't it? But with this tune, we really felt quite happy with how we did it and how it came out. I mean, Chris, he's the singer, he's probably listening now, he's always a bit of a perfectionist, and I think he always wants the mix to be better and better, but, you know, we haven't got the highest, you know, value in, you know, paying, like, as in we haven't got the biggest... what's the word, like money input into the into the mixing, so it's not always going to be the highest quality, but if we're making what we like and we've played it live many times, then it comes out well, I think. And yeah, we were very happy with how it came out, to be honest.
And I want to ask as well, but behind the scenes, if you can tell us, I mean, how many times did it take for you to try and think that this goes really well with that, the music goes really well with that track? I mean, how many times must it take for you to actually feel like you're satisfied with that track, if you get what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think it changes between people, you know. I think it depends, it has how much you care about the song, isn't it? Because if you really care about it, you're going to keep trying and getting the mix right or getting the tune right. But then at some point you're like, all right, for example, if you're preparing for a gig, you're like, all right, at this point it's good enough, let's play it. But if you're on like a recording, you're like, let's get it better and better. Like, I was in the studio this weekend recording for my other band, Cafe Totem, and you know, I can always be a bit of a perfectionist, want to get it right and right. And we finished the session and we did great, but I can't even remember what I recorded, you know? It's like when you're recording, you're in such a flow state.
Which in the moment, like, you this full concentration, then all of a sudden, when you get out, it's like,
it's gone.
What did we do?
Yeah, it's kind of a beautiful thing, because you're like, you know, you have to be relaxed, but then also concentrating, but not concentrating too much that you can't, you know, play well. So it's always like the first recording isn't the best. It's somewhere in the middle. It
takes a bit of time, either.
So it's like, you know, you need to be relaxed, but concentrated. And I don't know, it's that flow state where you're not thinking about anything, which is a really beautiful thing, I think.
Very much so.
I mean, it's very hard. It must be really hard as well, because it's like when you write a song, I bet you think to yourself, have you already wrote that song as well? You know, it's like there's so much music out there. It's absolutely unreal how much music there is out there.
Crazy.
And you think that you've written an original song and yet somebody else has took that song.
Yeah.
It must be so difficult to navigate.
It's funny you say that, actually, because one of the tunes that we were quite happy with Cafe Totem, when we first started playing it, I was like, that sounds a bit like a song. And I thought that for a while, and then I finally found the song, a really niche, random song, and it's not like the same, but it sounds a bit similar, and I'm glad that I found the song, and I sent it to the boys, and they're like, oh, they liked it, this vocalist is a nice band, but they like disbanded 2016 or whatever, and there's no way that the singer or guitarist heard that.
Sure.
But it's just a vibe you're going for, and you know, if you hear a band that's similar to you, you clearly think similarly, you know? You're clearly going for a similar vibe, so that's quite nice.
So what's next for Steel Frogman? Is there a potential album in the works?
Well, yeah, maybe so. I think we can now safely say, if we find the time to record, so we've got the tunes we think we want to record for probably an EP before an album, and I think we're going to try and find the time to record. Joe, who's a bass player, has been trying to get us on it. But our next exciting gig, I think I can announce it, is we're actually playing at the O2 Islington in London.
Wow.
That's massive.
Yeah, it's quite exciting, I think. It's a bit of a music showcase event. I don't know the full details at all, really. You know, it's like communication's not really there. But hopefully, yeah, a London gig for us would be quite fun and bring a lot of our fans there.
And will you be performing in Sheffield at any time?
So, as I said before, I've got a different version of Steel Frog, which is called Frog Mango, which is like the jam, you know, psychedelic project, which is like Steel Frog. And we're actually playing at the Hallamshire Hotel tomorrow night. So anyone who's listening should come on down. It's a great gig put on by Sonic Sheffield. It's Frog Mango, Camera, and Kazire and the Kings. Have you heard of Kazire and the Kings?
I haven't, no, I haven't.
They're honest. Really great energy. Funky, reggae, ska. It's, you know, it's
a good mix of genres there.
Honestly,
very good mix.
Such good energy, like trumpets and saxophone, and Kazire, the front woman, she really has got great energy, gets everyone moving and stuff. So that's at Hallamshire Hotel tomorrow night, so that should be a fun gig.
And you know, I've got so many questions I would love to ask you, but unfortunately we've run out of time and I've got to get this song in. So please tell us about the song.
Yeah, so this is Stay, a bit of a special song to us by Steel Frog. It's sort of a song that takes you away. When, you know, a day like this when it's a bit rainy and you, you know, maybe getting a bit down, you dream of, I don't know, summery golden days and what it used to be, and maybe sharing a good time with a friend or a lover, and yeah, it just helps you drift away. So this is Stay. I hope you enjoy.
good old days.
Josh, I want to say thank you so much. That was a great track.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Very summery. That honestly edges in front of the last one.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's a lot better. Oh. Both good songs, don't get me wrong, but this one I thoroughly enjoy just listening to, just sitting back and listening.
Oh, cheers, man. I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's
not,
a bit...
Not a problem.
Spacier surf, you know, it takes you away to a place, and maybe.
You just close your eyes, you imagine you're in a different place.
Yeah, that's why we really wanted to release it in autumn as well, because it's like a song that takes you back to a summery time where everything's good and happy, you know.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we've got one more interview to play right now. This was with Nicky Doll, who was the host, who is the host of a Drag Race France version, and she was also the one of the contestants of the original RuPaul's Drag Race. Here to talk about her latest single. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. And we have host of French version of Drag Race and singer-songwriter Nicky Doll. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. You know, the album just came out and I'm really excited to be talking with you.
So I'm going to ask you, Nicky, I mean... because you were a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, tell us a bit about that.
So I was on season 12 of RuPaul's Drag Race in the US, and I was the first ever French contestant. And did not win the crown, but I had a great time.
And I mean, to anybody that wants to be on RuPaul's Drag Race, I mean, what advice would you give?
For people that actually wants to get on the show?
Yeah, well, people who want to get on the show, yes.
I would say that, you know, not trying to compare yourself to other people that have been on the show before. I think the best way to get on the show and the best way to actually do well on the show is to be the best version of yourself. And I know it sounds generic, but at the end of the day, we are looking for the next best drag superstar, and she can only be the best if she is herself. So I think just go... with your guts and follow yourself.
And I mean, you've had a huge career as well ahead of RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, you are the host of the French version of Drag Race itself, and you've also co-presented the Eurovision Song Contest in 2024 mm-hmm. for France. I mean, that's must have been a thrill ride for you.
Yeah, I mean, when I got on the show in the US, I did not really know what the future hold. But I'm very excited to know that, you know, I've been hustling nonstop since, and I'm happy to just live every day feeling like I'm not working because I'm doing everything that I love and that makes me happy, which is performing for my fans and talking or performing music. And I've been very, very blessed so far, and I'm, you know, really happy.
And, I mean, you've got a new single that is called How Do I Look? We'll talk a bit about that later on. But, I mean, for our listeners who, like, want to break into music, I mean, not necessarily the music industry or anything like mm-hmm. that, but music. But, I mean, what advice would you give? I mean, how difficult is it for our listeners?
I would say that at the end of the day, the reason that you want to do music is for yourself. It's that it makes you happy. It makes you feel, it unlocks something in you, whether you are performing it, whether you're writing for other people. I think music is first and foremost, at least for me, therapeutic. I'm not doing music because I wanted to be famous. The fact is, I started to do music after I got famous because something was lacking. I was missing that raw passion that I've always had that I've never really been able to express. And so I would say that music is something that is very selfish first. And then if people join along the way because they relate to your music, they relate to your words, and they relate to your melodies, then that's a plus.
And I mean, who are your main influences? And also, if it was anybody that you could work with in the near future, who would it be and why?
That's a great question. The people that have really influenced me are actually singers that do very different genre of what I do. But I would say Chris Isaak, Sade. Of course, you would have like the ones that are a little bit more known are going to be like George Michael and Madonna, Lady Gaga, Cher, David Bowie, Grace Jones. These are all the people that shaped me in my writing influences, but also in the visual and the charisma on stage. And if I had to choose someone that I would dream to perform or write with, I would say Grace Jones, just because to me, she is the blueprint of everything that I do. I think, you know, we see me as like a drag persona doing music, but I think she's just as much as a drag persona that I am. And I just love that woman so much.
And I mean, we're going to talk about your single as well now. It's called How Do I Look? And you mentioned George Michael. I mean, there's an element of George Michael in the song.
Absolutely.
With Flawless. And I mean, it's a classic song. And I've got to say, I mean, was that always the start of when you wrote that song, but that you wanted to be, to put that, put Flawless into the track?
Well, the fun story behind it is because since I was a kid and I was listening to that track, I would always say, how do I look? And then the answer would be from either The Ones or George Michael, and it would be Flawless. So I always had that idea that there was like a little gimmick that I could do. And then it was really much of a way for me to connect everything that I love. I love house music. I live in New York. I am European. This song represents really much my childhood, but also has all of these kind of ingredients into it. So I always dreamed if I ever did a pop album, I would try my best to be able to get the right for that, to sample that song and make it my own. So it's really much a dream come true being 34 and having a song now called How Do I Look, since I've been singing it since I've been a teenager. So it's the loop is looping.
And I mean, how long did it take for you to put the song together? Did it come together quite quickly, or was it a long creative process?
I wish I could take all the credits, but I've been able to. It was really quick, but I was able to work with other amazing brains like Tara McDonald, who's an amazing singer. She's also from the UK. You heard her with David Guetta, Bob Sinclar, and many other DJs. She's a really, really good singer, vocalist, and lyricist. And when I told her about that song, we started working with another DJ and producer. His name is Thierry M. And we all came together to write this song. And then, but I would say in a matter of a few days, How Do I Look came out.
And I mean, to our listeners at home, I mean, do you feel like we're in a digital age now where social media is like very popular about all over the country, or in fact, all over the world, should I say. And you've got like social media like Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music. Do you feel like it's gotten easier to put music out there for people to listen to? Do you think it's gotten easier, or do you think it's still quite hard?
I think it's definitely more accessible for everybody to be able to reach their dreams and release music. I think it's actually harder for people that love music to have access to the songs, like for the songs to get to them. There's so many songs out every day, every week, every month, that in order for you to break through the noise and actually stand out, it requires way more work than before, I would say. But if I had to choose, like I'm still very happy and blessed to be in that generation where you are able to understand the system, you are able to understand the platforms, you are, even if you don't have the biggest income or the biggest label behind you and you want to achieve something, it is possible. We've seen people break through YouTube or through TikTok, and you know, there's pros and cons, but I think overall I'm glad that more people have access to be able to release music, because it shouldn't be a game for the elites, and I'm definitely not one of them, you know. So sure. I'm feeling happy about it, but it is harder, definitely.
And I mean, I've got to ask as well, I mean, how difficult is it to find that sound that you're looking for? I mean, have you found what you're looking for, or is it always an ongoing search?
I think, you know, being an artist, it's hard for me to really put myself in a box. I think it's by definition, I love to explore. But I definitely knew that I wanted to tap into the pop genre for the first album. I really wanted to explore all the different sides of pop, whether it's like a poolside, sunny, summery vibe, or an electro, dark, and nasty beat. I think with Apollo and Artemis, I allowed myself to have an umbrella that was wide enough to explore all this. But I love jazz, I love R&B, I definitely love rock and roll. So we're not, you know, safe for Nicki Doll to release an album that would be a completely different genre. Long story short, I love music and I love to sing and I love to challenge myself. But I think for the first one, I definitely wanted to tap into pop.
And I mean, what was that first song that you actually listened to and you thought to yourself, gosh, I really want to become a singer-songwriter? What was that song?
The first song that I wrote or the first song that I heard?
The first one that you heard, sorry.
Oh, the first song that I heard that made me want to... That's a great question, actually. It's so hard to answer. I would say the first one that made me feel like I wanted to become a songwriter or a singer... God damn, it's hard. I would definitely say David Bowie. And I would definitely say Let's Dance. Let's Dance by David Bowie made me realize that through the work of a human being, you could generate enough power in people's ear to make them happy, to make them want to stand up and dance, or to make them get out of a depression or get off the couch and go to work or workout. And I realized the power of music. And I knew that I wanted to master that power and try to do good for myself and for the people that would listen to it.
Sure. So thank you for sharing that with me, Nicki. And I've got to ask as well, so what's the future for Nicki Doll? I mean, we've got your singles, and will there be a possible upcoming album in the near future?
Yeah. Well, now I just released the EP called Apollo Artemis, and I'm looking to release the album next year, which would be like a deluxe version of what I released. My next goal is once I gathered enough people to really listen, enjoy, and crave some visuals for the music that I put out, I would love to go on a solo tour. Because I've been touring around the world performing drag, which is usually, you know, you lip syncing or you're doing covers of other people's work. My dream now and my goal is to actually go around the world and perform my own music with an audience that have listened to it and have my own point of view and share it.
And when you hopefully do go on tour, will there be a chance that you could possibly come to Sheffield at any point?
Would you have me over?
We would love to have you over.
I would love that. That would be my honour.
So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for that. So, and also, do you have social media that people can follow you on, like Instagram, Spotify, Instagram, Twitter, known as X, and Facebook?
Yeah, of course. You can follow me on all platforms at The Nicki Doll.
And how can people get a copy of your new single? Is there physical copies? Or is it all digital at the moment?
No. I just released a vinyl that is available on the website of Universal Music. It is also available on all streaming platforms. And then if you click to the bio of my Instagram account, you will have access as well to my merch website that sells the vinyl.
Nicki Doll, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
My final question for you is, yes. What would you like to say to our listeners who is currently listening right now?
I would like to say to your listeners that we are...